The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We'll be focusing on verses 18 through 20 today. I'm going to begin the reading at verse 14. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, by having girded your loins with truth, and by having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and by having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In every circumstance, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for granting to the believer the full armor of God. Thank you that you have girded us with truth. Thank you that you have placed on us the breastplate of righteousness, justification, the righteousness of Christ. Thank you that you have prepared our feet with the gospel of peace. Lord, today we pray that we will take up the shield of faith by which we will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We pray today that we will take the helmet of salvation and that we will be protected by all that the believer has in his salvation, his identity in Christ, all of the fullness of all of the riches that are ours in Jesus. Lord, we pray today that we will take the sword of the Spirit, the rhema word that your Spirit gives us from your word. And Lord, we pray today that we will understand and appreciate and apply what you have to say to us about the great weapon of prayer. Lord, make each one a person of prayer to the honor and glory of your Son, in whom we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul stresses the relation of prayer to everything we've been seeing about the believer's spiritual warfare. And he stresses that relation at the beginning of verse 18 by the word with. With all prayer. The word with, it's the Greek word dia, and it's usually translated through, and that would be a good translation here. Through. It's a continuation of the context that begins in verse 10, and goes all the way through verse 20. Let me say that a different way. Many of you at the end of verse 17 have a period. That should not be a period. That should be a comma. In other words, how do you take up the full armor of God? You do it through prayer. With prayer. It's a continuation. A continuation of the context that deals with invisible realities, Satan, demons, verse 11, the schemes of the devil, verse 12, rulers, world forces, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, the acknowledgement that there is invisible warfare going on all around you. That warfare, the reality of the armor of God that is yours as a believer, both defensive and offensive. And we have seen that down through verse 17. So prayer is not unrelated to the armor, and it's not unrelated to the warfare that we have been looking at in this passage. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, I hope some of you have read that, states that Christian has, and I'm quoting now, Bunyan calls it a weapon called prayer. Christian has a weapon called prayer. And in Pilgrim's Progress, by this weapon of prayer, Christian defeats the fiends in the valley of the shadow. If you haven't read it for a while, go back and read it again. There's a relationship between prayer and spiritual warfare. We will sing at the end of our service this morning, stand up for Jesus. And you'll notice in that hymn, in the third stanza, is a line that says, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Remember that? Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. We'll sing that and celebrate that at the end of our service today. So there is that relation, and Paul now establishes for us, beginning in verse 18, prayer as a resource. The resource of prayer for the believer's warfare, a weapon that we have in prayer. Our understanding will be organized around, and if you look carefully at chapter 6, verse 18, you will see it, four times the word all appears. All prayer. All times. All perseverance. All the saints. These four alls of verse 18 will organize our thoughts today. So the first all tells us about the variety and practice of prayer. In verse 18, it says, with all prayer and petition. With all prayer and petition. The word prayer, prosuke, is a general word for prayer. It just includes all praying. With all prayer. This is the word that appears in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, when Paul says, therefore I want the men in every place, and that word for men is males. I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. To pray. General prayer. All kinds of prayer. And the word deesis, specific prayer, translated petition. Specific prayer, your prayer requests, those details about which you pray. In other words, prayer has variety, and it is what Paul encourages us here to practice with all prayer and petition. Prayer is one of the most fascinating and interesting things a believer can do. Now, I know that might sound shocking to some of you. It's one of the most fascinating and interesting things a believer can do. Prayer, we won't study this morning, but prayer sets angels in motion. In prayer, you can touch and influence people, things, events, anywhere on earth. Anywhere. It's a fascinating thing. Prayer is the great activity of your faith. It is. And prayer throughout the Bible is practiced in all kinds of circumstances, in all kinds of forms and manners and postures. There's public prayer. There's private prayer. Sometimes prayer is loud. Sometimes it's soft, a whisper. Sometimes it's even to human ears, silent. Sometimes prayer is planned. Sometimes it's spontaneous and quick. We see people throughout the Bible. I think of Nehemiah, who just in time of need shot up a quick prayer to the Lord. We see people praying while they're sitting, while they're standing, sometimes while they're kneeling, other times while they're on their face before God, lying on the ground. We see prayer while you're working, prayer while you're traveling, prayer while you're engaged in conflict, prayer during times of thanksgiving, prayer during times of peace. We see long prayers and short prayers. By the way, most of the prayers in the Bible are short. You can have your hands folded. You can have your hands raised in prayer. We just saw a verse that tells men to lift their hands in prayer. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray with your head bowed. You can pray with your head erect. Many forms, many circumstances, many postures, but always real and true interaction with the one true God of the Bible. It's variety in prayer. It's fascinating. So with all prayer and petition, we take up the armor of God. The second all in verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit. The frequency and power of prayer. At all times in the Spirit. Now, pray at all times. The Greek word is not chronos, it is kairos, kairo. In other words, it does not say pray all the time. What it says is pray at all times. Pray at all kairos moments, at all occasions, at all opportunities for prayer. So you don't have to spiritualize this and say, well, this just means I have to stay in an attitude of prayer all the time. You know, now I know people say that, but I've got to tell you, I don't know what an attitude of prayer is. I don't know what that means. Pray at all times doesn't mean always have an attitude of prayer. It means pray. And it means pray whenever there's an occasion, at every opportunity, we might say in relationship to the other phrase that goes with it, in the Spirit, pray whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray. Pray at all times, at all opportunities. Jesus in Luke 21 verse 36 said, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. Keep on the alert at all times. Pray. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to, literally, the prayer. They weren't just kind of generically devoted to praying. They were devoted to those times when God's people were gathered and assembled for prayer. devoted to the prayer continually. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to, and again, it is the prayer. Devoted to the prayer. Devoted to it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, when is that? How often is that? Well, how often is being anxious? How often is worry? So, pray more than you worry. Prayer will supplant worry. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean either pray all the time. It doesn't mean don't ever stop praying, but it means pray something through to the end. Pray about it without quitting along the way. Pray without ceasing. Pray at all occasions, at every opportunity, in all kinds of circumstances, pray. And pray in the Spirit. Now, what is that? Pray in the Spirit. Well, let's remember, we saw back in chapter 5, verse 18, and we're still living out that whole thing of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit individually, as a church, in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, in your government, all of that, be filled with the Spirit. We are to engage in spiritual warfare by the power of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. And so we pray in the Spirit. It's still part of that same context. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Now, do you get that statement? I mean, Romans 8:26 tells you, say, no, I've mastered prayer. I know how to pray. I know how to pray as I should. I always know the right thing to pray. Okay? Romans 8:26 says, no, you don't. You don't know how to pray as you should. Really, none of us does. We do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. He prays for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit always knows how to pray. He always knows what to pray for, because the mind of God the Father and the mind of the Holy Spirit are the same. And they're always in agreement. The believer has, yes, we have an ascended prayer partner, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, who always is interceding for us. But we have an indwelling prayer partner, the Holy Spirit, who is interceding for us even when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. There are some challenges of life, and they can even be warfare challenges, that are so big to us, so overwhelming to us, that when we begin to pray for whatever that is, it's like nothing comes out. We don't even have the words. And at that point, the Holy Spirit prays, intercedes, and to us, it just sounds like groanings too deep for words. But the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the Father are one, and those are communicating to the Father in prayer on our behalf. The indwelling of our prayer partner, the Holy Spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's actually by praying in the Holy Spirit. praying in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit who prays better than I pray, more effectively than I can pray. Praying in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit's power, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Interceding. So we pray in all kinds of circumstances and all occasions at all opportunities, and we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there is power. Now, I know we talk about the phrase power in prayer, but the power doesn't come from your praying. The power is the power of the Holy Spirit. Your prayer is not powerful because you prayed it. Your prayer is powerful when it is dependent upon the Spirit of God. That's the power. So, is there power in prayer? Sure there is. But the power isn't in the prayer. The power is in the Holy Spirit who is interceding and praying for you. And you're dependent upon Him. Pray at all times in the Spirit. The third all, still in chapter 6, verse 18. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. All perseverance. Now, with this in view, you ought to ask, what? With what in view? Well, what is Paul talking about? It's the whole context. With warfare in view. With the invisible reality, Satan and demons in view. With all of your armor in view. That's what he's been talking about, isn't it? With all of your armor. With dependence on the Holy Spirit in view. With being filled with the Holy Spirit in view. With all of this in view, do you need to pray? Do you need to pray? You can't even put on the armor without dependence on the Holy Spirit. You can't fight and win in spiritual warfare on your own. You can't do it. With all of this in view, Paul says, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Be ready. Be ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. Be ready to pray. Be alert. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, a parallel passage to this one in Ephesians. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Say, well, how do I stay alert in prayer? Just be thankful. Be thankful all the time. Can you pray without saying thank you? I doubt it. Or let me put it this way. You shouldn't. Thanksgiving keeps you on the alert. Stay alert. Ephesians 6:18, with all perseverance, endurance, literally holding up under. Keep praying. Persevere in prayer. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Continually devoting themselves to prayer. Praying, persevering in prayer. We saw it in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, without quitting. Pray through to the end. We could say, pray until you see whatever the answer will be. Pray it through to the end with all perseverance. The fourth all in chapter 6, verse 18, and petition for all the saints. For all the saints, pray for fellow believers. All the saints. Now that's a stress of this passage. Petition for all the saints. It does not mean nor even imply that you should not pray for non-believers, for unsaved people. But the priority here is to pray for each other. The reason is only believers are engaged in spiritual warfare. Unsaved people are the victims of spiritual warfare. They are not engaged in it. They're not fighting it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against unsaved people. We wrestle against Satan and demons. Unsaved people are the victims. Yes, we're praying for them. We're praying for their salvation. We're not praying that they'll have a nice life. We're praying that they will be saved, that they will be delivered from Satan, who is their God, that they will be delivered from him, that they will have salvation. You know, I've had some people say, well, I heard you have my name on your Wednesday night prayer list, that you're praying for my salvation, and I wish you'd take me off. So, well, you know how you can get me to take you off that list? You need to be saved. When you're saved, I'll take you off the list. Then I'll pray for you for something else, but, you know, that is what we're doing for the unsaved. But for believers, we're praying for one another. There are sometimes, I know, some of you go through some struggles and you say, well, man, I'm trying to lift up, I'm trying to take up the shield of faith. And I just pray, Lord, on their behalf, I take up the shield of faith. On their behalf. Lord, strengthen them that they might take up the shield of faith during this time. We pray for one another. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8 we've looked at recently. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Your brethren who are in the world. Having an understanding of prayer in spiritual warfare relates you to your brothers and sisters in Christ everywhere on this planet. Do you know that? Say, well, boy, they sure are having spiritual warfare as well as physical warfare in the Central African Republic. Well, are you praying for your brothers there? And by the way, they realize you have spiritual warfare going on here, and they pray for you. You know, our whole interaction as a global mission church helps us to see this in a great way, and we really can impact things all over the world. Anytime, every day, through prayer. Pray petition for all the saints. Now, Paul gives himself as a specific example. And at the beginning of verse 19, Paul says, "And pray on my behalf." Okay, pray for all the saints, and oh, if you can't think of anybody else, pray for me, Paul says. I'm one of them. Pray on my behalf. This is very emphatic. Pray on my behalf. For me. Paul often requested prayer in his letters. That's another whole message in itself. I've listed the passages for you in your notes. He often requested prayer for himself and his team in his letters. Here he says it, pray on my behalf. And he requests prayer for specific objectives. In other words, this fourth all is including the objectives and the people being prayed for. Who are the people? Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, what are the objectives being prayed for? Verse 19, that utterance would be given, may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Now, this is a fascinating statement. The word utterance is logos. It is the word for word. And opening of his mouth is, the opening is actually a noun. So it's, you know, open your mouth and a word gets put in Paul's mouth. That's what he's requesting here. That a word from God would be given to him in the opening of his mouth, in his open mouth. Now, that of course implies that to get that word, you've got to have your mouth what? Open. You're not going to get this word unless you're opening your mouth, because that's where the word is being put. This is Paul's prayer request, that he will have a word from God to say when he opens his mouth to speak. Okay. Now, you need to get this, because if you say, well, yeah, I would talk to somebody about the gospel, I would witness to somebody, but I never know what to say. Okay? Well, how about if you pray this? Like Paul prays. Lord, you give me what to say. This is taking up the sword of the Spirit. Be so filled with the Word of God that when in time of need, when you open your mouth to speak, the Holy Spirit will activate the Word of God with which you have filled yourself, and you will have the right word to say on the right occasion. That's what Paul requests prayer for. That utterance, that a word would be given to him in the opening of his mouth. Paul requests prayer also. Chapter 6, verse 19. That he would clearly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, this is the last use of the word mystery in Ephesians. We won't go back through all of those. I've listed them for you in your notes. But remember, mystery doesn't mean something mysterious that you can't figure out. Mystery means something that was maybe only foreshadowed in the Old Testament, but now is made clearly known in the New Testament. And the other ones in Ephesians would say made clearly known by Paul. And Paul puts the gospel in that category. So that I make known the gospel. Again, in the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, we saw verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul says, pray for me that I'll have a word in my mouth to speak, and pray for me that through that word, I will make the gospel known. And I will make it known clearly. I won't use veiled, spiritualized language. I won't speak American Christianese. I will speak Bible. I will speak Bible. I will speak the gospel and make it clear. And Paul requests prayer. Verse 20 of chapter 6. That he, an ambassador in chains, would speak the gospel boldly, that I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. Boldly, not apologetically, not defensively, boldly, taking up the sword of the Spirit. You're on the offense now, not the defense. Now, do you remember I did a whole section on this several messages ago on the arenas of spiritual warfare from our context here in Ephesians? And we saw Israel was an arena of spiritual warfare, the church, your marriage, your family, your workplace, your government. Do you remember the very last one in that list? It was the gospel. This is what spiritual warfare is really against from Satan's perspective. He wants to shut down a clear presentation of the gospel. He wants to shut you up. In our culture today, we would say it this way. He wants to cancel you. To shut you up. The proclamation of the gospel is the sword of the Spirit. That is how you fight. And so Satan and Paul's enemies would say, well, we'll shut him up. We'll put him in prison. So he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. We'll put him in prison. Okay? Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 7, Paul says, it's only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Wow. Even when you're in prison? Yes, Philippians 1:12. I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Does Paul ask for prayer? Hey, you guys at Ephesus, remember, I'm in prison right now. Please pray that I'll get out of here and get released soon. No. Paul says, hey, I'm in imprisonment. I'm an ambassador in chains. He's saying, I'm not asking for prayer that I get out of here. I'm asking for prayer that this is a great open door opportunity for which I am imprisoned. Satan and Paul's enemies said, "We're going to shut you up. We're going to cancel you." Paul says, "No, you've just given me another opportunity to preach the gospel. This is a great opportunity." Paul would say, "They've got me surrounded. They can't get away." It's his opportunity. Satan wants to shut you up. Satan wants to cancel you. He'll use legislations about hate speech to do it. He'll use COVID to do it. He'll use anything he can to do it, because he does not want the gospel to go forth from you, because he doesn't want people that he already has under his control to be saved and delivered from him. Paul says, "Pray. Pray that I might speak the gospel clearly. Pray that I'll have open doors, that I'll have words to say, and that I will speak boldly." You know what? You can hear about it in the news and the political discussions and all of that. You, my brothers and sisters in Christ, cannot be canceled. You are in the hand of Jesus. You're in the hand of his Father. No one can pluck you from his hand. No one can. They can't cancel you. Say, "Well, they could put me in jail." Yeah, they did to Paul. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity." Say, "Well, they could kill me." Yeah, okay. And to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I win. See, that's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare isn't all about your little issues and your little problems in life. It's about the gospel. It's about God's eternal purpose. And Satan is defeated. He is defeated. He's trying, but he cannot and he will not win. You win, because Jesus has already won. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you will embolden your people for this warfare in the gospel. Lord, I pray for anyone here or watching, listening in, who is not yet saved. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would open their heart wrap them in the belt of truth, place on them the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. Prepare them with the gospel, and that they would be saved. For Lord, they don't even yet have those things. And they don't have a shield of faith to take up. And they don't have a helmet of salvation. And they don't have the sword of your spirit. But Lord, I pray that you would save them, that they would be regenerated, born again by your spirit and your word within them, and that they would believe on Christ for their salvation. Lord, save them, deliver them. And Lord, I pray for every believer here. I pray, Lord, that they would take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And Lord, that these would all be activated by prayer and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that your people would know the victory of the gospel of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that triumph of Christ, the triumph of the gospel. We rejoice in it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.